When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This week's episode of Motherfuck Lore is brought to you by the show's generous supporters on Patreon. New supporters like Lenka Libichova, Sam Guthrie, and Siobhan McCauley, who joined us in the past week or so. Thank you so much. We love meeting new friends. We love that you like the show enough to support it on Patreon and guarantee that we can continue producing it. If you want bonus content, discounts on art prints by Kirsten Scheel, check us out on patreon.com/Derek. And now the show.
From the Headstuff Podcast Network, welcome to Motherfuck Lore, a podcast of words. Irish. Irish words. Words from Ireland. I am your extremely happy host, Derek O'Shea.
I am your moderately happy host, co-host, Geraldine McAvoy.
And I'm Padraig O'Quivonik. And your descent into adjectives is the first step into anarchy.
Hey, adjectives. Adjectives are fine. It's adverbs that are the problem.
He said dicily. I just think this is a podcast that we're creating that's going to be there in perpetuity, and now you've just nailed it to the
no,
walls.
No, Marion Keyes said adjectives and adverbs are all right on her novel writing class on Instagram last night. I will not have it. Don't be slagging them off.
No, I love adjectives. I just think that you're creating a piece of art that's going to last forever.
Art, yes. Come on now. Yeah, come on. I mean,
forever as well. Like, you know, but it's going to be out there. People could listen to this on a future date when you're not so happy. And they're going like, oh, Derek's happy. And it's like, no, not today. Today, Derek needs a hug.
Well, on this particular day, here we are, somewhere mid-January 2021. I am, all things considered, in pretty good form. I'm happy. I'm feeling very loved. I want to thank all the new Patreons who joined the podcast this week. Thank you for coming along and joining us on our journey of nerdy escapism. I love you all, even though I don't know you yet. the oven of my heart is preheated for you.
I enjoy that.
Okay.
So I'm not suggesting cooking people.
Aside.
Okay. Preheated heart oven aside. One thing is, while I'm in very good form, I do miss walking around my beloved city, Ballyhackla, Dublin town. I miss it now. And what I wouldn't give now to be walking, you know, down Thomas Street through to James Street.
Oh, in the Liberties.
Down the Liberties, a place I lived for a number of years and had a very, very happy memories.
Did you live there before it was cool?
It was kind of cool when I arrived. Cause, I mean, come on.
Oh, okay.
Oh, he would say that. Come on.
I thought you were going to go...
Derek gentrified.
I thought you were going to go full hipster on us and just go, I was there before all of those design firms and coffee houses moved in.
But that, I mean, there was always, I suppose, NCAG's been there for years, so it's always had a little bit of, you know, of that. But anyway, either way, I suppose, like, I'd be very happy now if I was in the Liberties in Dublin, 80 maybe even, yes, somewhere along the red line, the Lewis.
Go on the red line.
Not the red line. Not taking the red line.
I love the red line.
Take it out to it's out great. To the red cow, out to my neck of the woods. They say they say the Lewis serves Clondalkin, where I'm from. But really, you have to get off of the red cow. It's a long ass walk into Clondalkin. But that said, I love it as a facility. I think it's great. I love these trams. Do you ever fly to Edinburgh?
I've been to Edinburgh once.
Yeah, so Edinburgh is a great, great city. It's one of my favourite. I have friends living in Edinburgh. I love Edinburgh. I went there on my stag. Five of the best days of my life.
Absolutely sending it. Some of the greatest horseplay of all time.
And like you get off the plane in Edinburgh and you hop on a tram that's a little bit like Air Lewis. And like within a few minutes, you can be right in the city centre, right walking up Rose Street, looking for your first pint. But yeah, we don't quite have that. We don't have a Lewis that stretches out to the airport.
Wouldn't it be great? Can you imagine? Great, like Houston all the way to Terminal 2.
Imagine getting off the plane at Terminal 2 and 40 minutes later sitting in the McDonald's on Kylemore Road having a Big Mac.
Well, I'll have you know, if you get the green city bus from Dublin Airport, you can be in the city centre in 30 minutes. That is what they tell you on that fucking bus. And I'm here to tell you they're liars.
I love when you occasionally see the tourists who try to save money by hopping on the Dublin bus.
Oh yeah.
The next thing they're looking around and they're like, "What the hell are we doing? Why does this go down every tiny street on the north side of the city?"
I remember getting on that bus last year, the green 747 at the airport, and I had loads of time to kill, but it was like I needed loads of time to kill. And there was these German tourists behind me who were like, they say it will be 30 minutes before we get to the college green. And I was like, I just looked at them, you poor thing. I hope you don't have that. And then, you know, organized. Actually, it was the day of the Spice Girls concert, and there was a load of people going to the Spice Girls concert, giving themselves 30 minutes to get to the Spice Girls concert.
It's like,
and I was like, no, you're going to miss it. You're going to miss all the start of it.
It says we will be in the city centre in 30 minutes, and we have arranged an activity 32 minutes from now. We've given ourselves a lot of leeway. But like that's the problem, and it's not even like the stereotypical Germans. Like it's the fact that they come from a country where if it says the bus is arriving at 16:13, at 13 minutes past four, the bus is going to be there.
Mm. Yeah.
Whereas,
or asking a question like, "How many meters is it to?" And I'm like, "Well, how many meters is it walking, and then how many meters is it on the bus?" Because you know the bus has to first go up, you know, behind the fucking Mount Joy first, and then around into Talbot Street, whatever. And then get stuck in one-way traffic. So you'll be good while yet.
What is the fastest way to the city centre? Are you walking or taking the bus? They're taking the bus. That's the fastest way.
But I think though, when you are in Germany though, while yes, the trains and buses are on time because people tend to change trains 7 or 8 times in a relatively short journey. And I did notice that when I was in Munster for a while. I remember we were going on a fairly short train journey to Enschede, just across the border in their Netherlands. And I think we changed trains about 6 times.
Sorry, I still can't get over Netherlands.
Where the hell did that? Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Der Netherlands. Yeah.
Fun story. There was an English football manager who took charge of the team in Enschede, in the Netherlands. Twente Enschede. And he couldn't speak Dutch, but he decided, his name was Steve McLaren, he used to manage the English national team, and when he was sacked from the English national team, he became the manager of Twente Enschede, and he even won the Dutch title with them. But at one stage, quite comically, he decided that instead of, you know, speaking Dutch or speaking English in his own accent, he would do the interview like this, as if he was a Dutchman speaking in the English. I was like, mate, that's not how it's done.
Clean sheet, I call it, is one of the most important things in football, but especially in European football, in two legs.
Gareth, you mentioned you had time to kill at the airport.
Yep. Remember that?
Speaking of time to kill, I just noticed that on the red line at Lewis, there's an interesting feature, I suppose, of the Irish language in terms of two of the place names or tram stops. Which are...
And also names of James Bond movies.
Kill and Kill.
That Place to Kill or something. I don't know what it's called. What is it called? A Time to Kill? No Time to Kill. A Time to Kill?
A Time to Kill is a John Grisham novel.
A Time to Kill is a very good
James
movie.
Bond film?
View to a Kill.
A View to a Kill?
No, it's a new one.
No Time to Die.
No Time to Be Killing. No Time to Die. Okay, never mind.
It's No Time to Be Killing. Now, they got rid of your man from Navan. He's not doing it anymore. To have a fella called Craig Daniels doing it, and he's very good, I have to say. You'd never think there could be a Ginger Bond, but you're look at him. There he is.
That's an insult to gingers everywhere. He's no more ginger now than Derek.
Daniel Craig's a bit of a strawberry blonde, isn't he?
No one's biting on this one.
No, Mousy Brown? I don't really
Donald
know.
Donald Gleeson is going to come for your neck.
Hey, if Donald Gleeson was Bond, that'd be class. He'd be a great
Donald Gleeson can do anything. He can...
Watch your profanity.
Take that out.
Fuck.
Don't put that in.
Sorry. Speaking of,
we should clarify that Donald Gleeson has never been linked with any
right. I'm sorry.
Incidents in the past.
No, he wouldn't. He's too sound, probably.
Beautiful segue from.
I know where you.
Sorry, I wrecked it.
I know where you were going though. You're gonna. So speaking of, like,
Time to kill.
Yeah, so there's an interesting little quirk along the Red Line, Lewis. And basically, it's taken us longer to get here than it takes to get from the airport to the Kylemore Road, which is what we're going to talk about, because there's a Lewis stop called Kylemore on Kylewar, or on Kylewar, depending on your canyunt, the big wood, or the big forest. And it's right at the end of Bohor na Cailleamóra, Bohor na Cailleamóra, which is the road of the big wood. But for many, many years, there was a mistranslation on the Irish street signage in that area. And it was mistakenly believed that it was Bohor na Cailleamóra, which would be the road of the big church. Mm. Because conveniently, there's a big church at the top end of it in Ballyfermot. But... yeah, it's just, I suppose it's down to the prevalence of religious place names in Ireland, that there's so many of them. And we know, like, there's places called Donagh, like Donagh Brook, Donagh Cearnach, the Donnybrook, Donnycarney. But the most common one by far is Kyle. So it's kind of understandable that when you see something in English, Kyle or Kyle, that you assume that it's from a church.
Yeah.
And normally, when it's a person's name attached to it, like Kilpeder or Kilbride, you can just assume it's the church of that saint. But yeah, it kind of they kind of screwed the pooch on. Now, it's all fixed. Fair play to Dublin City Council. It's all fixed now. Like, there's no incorrect street signs, as far as I'm aware, up around Kylemore Road these days. But, geez, there's a lot of places named after churches in Ireland, isn't there?
There are.
There is, yeah. Churches and woods. That's all this we have.
And this is one of the things that does come up, guys. Kyll is a church, and Kyll is a woodland or forest area. And some people say that when St. Patrick came along and he got rid of the pagan druids, the pagan Celtic druids, that he took a lot of the holy places, which are like, you know, woodlands, and made them churches. And this is one of the folk etymologies behind the similarity between these worlds. It could just be they're two words that are similar, like weight and weight. But this is,
and it could just be that Ireland was covered in trees. So if you wanted to build anything, you kind of had to cut down the old trees, yeah. You know.
I mean, if a place was, if there are trees everywhere, you wouldn't be saying, well, this place is the forest of such and such. You'd be just saying it's the place.
Yeah. Like, there's no similarity between house and wood in Irish. And presumably if you were building a house on a field, if you had, you know, wanted to get yourself some road frontage, you'd need to cut down the trees.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know what the etymology of that is, but I'm not buying it.
Yeah, it's a cute story for kids, but it's not. I mean, yeah, it doesn't actually. Is it actually based on any factual?
No, it's not. Quill is, as far as can be traced back, it's an old Irish word. Originally, Kyle, Cailll, and still pronounced Kyle in Munster. But Quill in other parts of the country. And Kyll, on the other hand, comes from the Latin, from the Latin cella, meaning cell or church, because monks would live in a cell and would practice in a church.
And Saint Killian, who was the Irishman who brought Christianity to Bavaria, I was at a wedding in Zellingen a while back, and I met the German guy. He says, "Oh, my name's Killian. My father's name is Killian. You will not guess what my son is called." And everyone was Killian. It was a huge local name, but they spell it with a K.
It can be spelled with a K.
Yes.
Yeah, I've met Killians with K's, yeah.
When I was in a in the scouts here, our local scout troop here in Dublin was named St. Killian's troop, because he's the patron saint of this area. We have two patron saints where I'm from, St. Cronan Macua and St. Killian. And they both actually are basically more popular in Germany than they ever were in Ireland. A bit like Johnny Logan.
I refute that accusation wholeheartedly. I love J-Lo, the original J-Lo, and I won't hear a word against it. I'm interested in this Macua fella, though, because where I'm from is Timahoe, which is Tig Macua, which is your man Macua. Is it the same fella?
Same lad.
Cronan
Macua, He built monasteries all over the gaff.
He did, up in Antrim, and then he sure came all the way down to Timahoe and
Tig Macua. But he built the round tower, the famous round tower here in Clondalkin.
He built ours, which is nicer.
It's not, though.
What's?
Do you know what? Between Cashel and Clondalkin, I've had enough of this round tower fucking like hierarchy. The round tower in Timahoe was class.
What's at the bottom of the round tower in Timahoe? What's sitting at the base of it? Well, what's at the base of it?
Well, there's a monastery next to it.
Is there? We've got a cafe. Yeah. Cafe, that's much better.
Excuse me, there's a heritage centre right next to the one with very creepy life-size monks in the one in Timahoe.
Can you get there's a heritage centre at this one, but the cafe is the standard.
You can ask if you can get a flat white. You can't get a flat white in Leash. No.
I was actually going to ask if you can get an orange flavoured hot chocolate.
No. You can get a cup of tea over in the shop, though.
Yeah, so not only is there a lovely cafe at the base of our round tower in Clondalkin, run by lovely local people called East Village. They're absolutely class. Love the guys. But there's also a museum, and in the museum is an exhibition on the revival of the Irish language. And that exhibition contains clips of the most important people in the history of the Irish language, including Páraic Pearse, Sheila de Valera, and me.
Anyone of the Timahoe Heritage Centre is listening, get in touch, okay?
And they were looking for when the local county council were looking for exhibitions around the revival of the Irish language, because Irish is so important in Clondalkin, and it's got Lean Regalia status, and more people speak Irish on a daily basis outside the education system in Clondalkin than anywhere else of a similar size around the country. They went and they reached out to Radio Na Lifa and said, can we get a clip of someone speaking Irish on your radio station for our museum in Clondalkin? And Radio Na Lifa said, yeah, we have a chap from Clondalkin who does a show here. I'll give you a clip. So, yeah.
Fantastic!
Yeah. I'm so raging.
Garajeans, it's on you now. You got to get your own clip into Timahoe and
Round Tower Wars.
And listeners, do get in touch if you have a favorite round tower. If there's a round tower that thrills you, inspires you, if what's the like?
I think, but hey, I think we can both agree.
Don't say Glendalough. Just don't say Glendalough.
Yeah, I think we can both agree it's neither Glendalough nor Cashel. Cashel doesn't even have a hat. Like, it doesn't even have a bit on the top. It's an incomplete fucking round tower. I don't want to hear
Never
it.
Never mess
like,
with
it's
that.
It's not watertight.
Yeah, no hatless round towers for us.
Yeah, no. Need not apply. Cashel can get fucked.
Or not if it's hatless.
That is an ass. That's a clip. That's a next clip. Like, for why should I listen to Mother Folklore cue a clip of Garrigan saying Cashel can get fucked? Okay. Mother Folklore, the most hated podcast in Tipperary.
Yes. Well,
no, the people of Tipperary town will appreciate that. I can promise you.
Got it.
Tipperary. Yeah. So kill. Kill is used throughout the whole country. Like, there's so many places. Obviously, famously, Kildare and Killarney.
Kildare being one, because when we were driving down to Kerry on our holidays as kids, we passed through Kildare, and there'd be a big sign saying Kildare, and my brother's about to start beating me in the back of the car. And I was like, here's a pair of fucking masters. And I'd say, well, at least they named a county after me, you shitheads.
Okay, there's a lot of deep-seated trauma there.
Well, I suppose
I'm just going to move swiftly on from it.
Technically, I suppose it's Donegal, and my brother's called Connell, so he has a county as well. But Manus, nah, no such luck.
Nothing for him.
Nothing for Manus.
And the kill in Kildare, that's kill is in church rather than quill.
Even though it actually means, well, even if it means oak, I mean, it means the church of the oak.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's definitely a church. And because of herself, the patroness.
Yeah.
The ancient Celtic pagan goddess.
Oh, yes.
Breed.
Yep.
Breed, the pagan goddess who's appropriated. The obviously the oak was the what I remember hearing was that when I did the tour of the Bushmills distillery up in Antrim, they were saying that, you know, Ireland was covered in oak trees and the Brits chopped them all down to make warships.
That did happen. A lot of that happened. There's an old song that they used to sing in the Royal Navy, round about the Battle of Trafalgar and all that, round about the end of the 18th, start of the 19th century, called Hearts of Oak. Mm-hmm. Captain Picard sings it in one episode of Star Trek when he's possessed by an alien and acts like a drunk. But the lyrics are like, Hearts of Oak are our ships. And a lot of those oaks came from Ireland. Now, it may be overstated how much clearance the Irish themselves had already done to forestry at that stage. But there's no doubt about it that the British military industrial complex contributed to us going from having one of the highest forestry coverage statistics in Europe to having right now among the lowest. Like, we're really, really, really bad. And what little forestry we have is this commercial monoculture Sitka spruce, which is not the it's not the forestry your great granddad had. Like, it's really, really, it's very poor actually. It's very bad for
soil
biodiversity. Mm. Very bad for the soil. Very bad for other plant life. Like, if you go into a native woodland, there's all different types of plants growing along the ground. But if you go walk up the Dublin Mountains into one of these Sitka spruce plantations, the ground is completely barren. Mm. Like, it's really weird.
There's no little flowers at the bottoms of the trees. No little mushrooms on the bark. Little things like that. No happy little red squirrels.
These foreign trees coming over here, taking our nutrients.
Oh.
Oh no.
But it's
they don't even have leaves, so they don't.
Speaking of natural and native wildlife, so my favourite, this connects me to my favourite Loganum or place name, which is from nearby where I live, actually. So it's, I believe, I don't know how true this is, but I believe the only nature reserve on an esker in Ireland is in a place named Coolnabacha, where I am from. I'm from, so again, Quill. I live in, my address is Kyle from Quill. But I actually live in Coolnabacha for postal reasons. We have to put Kyle on it because postal politics is a big thing in rural Ireland. Anyway, this particular nature reserve has all these beautiful native trees, but right next to it, Coolnabacha being wood of the bees, so Coolnabacha, there's this, what do you call the bee houses? What do you call them?
Hives?
No, the man-made ones. Like, what are you?
Oh, beehive huts.
Yeah, but is there not a name on them? No? Just beehive huts. Is that what they're called?
Are you talking about like beehives?
Where you go and collect the honey, Leah? Yeah?
That's a beehive.
Okay, I'm having a brain fart. Sorry. but there's beehives.
You mean the honeycombs?
Are you referring to the honeycombs and the bees? The that you look in at the bees?
Yeah, they're hives.
It's called a hive.
Okay, well, they're there. I think, as far as I know, they're no longer there. But when I was a child, they were definitely there. And we would like pass by them on our little walks through this nature reserve. And it's my favourite place name because I think it's very cute. And that's what I love about place names in our old like Irish place names, because the anglicised version tells you nothing. But the Irish version tells you there's a wood and there's bees in it, you know? And that, it's Ranseal. It tells you exactly what's in it. And I love that.
Yeah, like to go back down to Tipperary and to avoid Cashel in Ireland and go to Clonmel.
Up Clonmel.
If you're going to Clonmel, Clonmala, the meadow of honey.
It's there.
Beautiful name.
So, what do you get? Where do you get honey from?
Bees.
You know this now, Gardine. It's beehives. Beehives.
Thanks.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, we lost a lot. I mean, I know that we did an episode about translations with Sean live in Newbridge, which is actually one of the few Ranseal English language place names.
There was a Newbridge.
Yes. it's a bridge, and it's that, new.
And Horse and Jockey.
Well, Horse and Jockey is a confusing one because in Irish it's on Markuk. So like Oscailge, there's no horse.
He's just riding in Irish.
He's just riding, yeah, exactly. Well, careful now. There are a few of those place names around the place that are just named after inns or taverns or farms, or they're named after the buildings, basically where the building came first, I'd go back to the Red Line Lewis again. If you go to the Red Cow,
yeah,
on Vaux Yarrig. On Vaux Yarrig was the name of a farmhouse, and then an inn, and then an alehouse, then a coach house, and now a hotel.
Man, I just thought it was the hotel.
Yeah, no, but it goes back to the, I think the 15th wow. century. I mean, at one stage that was inside the Pale. So, you know, that actually for quite a lot of time that was inside the Pale. So there would have been alehouses yeah. and inns and coach houses and all sorts of civilization to keep them away from the, you know, the natives, the Irish. And then there also a little bit further up is Black Horse.
Yes.
On Coppell Dove. And I got mad when they named that site Black Horse. When they named that Lewis stop Black Horse, I was like, you can't be naming a Lewis stop after a pub across the road. But it turns out that the pub across the road has been there in one guise or another for centuries, and the area has come to be known as on Coppell Dove. So
this is true of a lot of London place names, or certainly tube stops are named after kind of taverns that are long gone. I think
Elephant and Castle.
Elephant and Castle.
The next station is Elephant and Castle, where this train terminates.
Fabulous, wonderful, love that.
I thought that was rhyming slang for something. I was like, okay, Elephant and Castle. Castle rhymes with hassle. But no, it's just place name. It's just back in the old days, taverns in England would have like symbols at the door. Wow, it's for people who couldn't read. So you'd have an elephant and a castle, and it gave you the name.
For people who couldn't read, or people, as they were known at the time. You know, in Prague, they never got into the habit of numbering the doors for the same reason. In the old town of Prague, all the buildings are medieval. They're all hundreds of years old. So, like, I stayed in a hotel in Prague that was basically the name of the address of the hotel was the Three Golden Balls, such and such a street, Old Town Prague. And because the sign hanging out the front was like a pawnbroker, it was like Love three that. Golden balls.
It's like the five lamps.
Mm. Yeah, but like, yeah, yes. It's another five lamps.
Wow.
I'm sure we've said it already on this podcast, because I used to not know the five lamps.
Well, now you're going to hang out the bullets at them.
It's a funny one. But So place names, and they can change over time, and you do see this sometimes with new housing estates that popped up in the Celtic Tiger, where they try to erase the history. This happened particularly in some Dublin communities where they tried to put a Springfield outside Tala, was it, Petter? And a Charlestown in Finglas.
It was a Charlestown, Charlestown Shopping Centre?
Yeah.
They managed that. Yeah,
and there is a Springfield in Tala.
But these were recently added.
Well, yeah, like the 60s, I think, for the Springfield in Tala. I mean, yes, recent in terms of the oldest vernacular language in Europe, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, but that said, I don't know, like, I always get surprised that there was a little development here in the local area. There's a new development being put out there, and it was in this place that has always been known by one name. It's always been known by one name. And a developer came, built some houses there, and they named it another name. They named it Richmond or something seemingly quite tannish.
We talked about this before. There's a St. Pancras mews or somewhere in Harold's Cross.
Well, fuck's sake. But anyway, it turns out that particular anglicised place name goes back even further than the local place name that was in the folk narrative, in local knowledge, because, you know, prior to it being called such and such, it was known as Richmond way back years and years and years ago. So I'm always surprised. So I wouldn't be surprised if they could dig out some kind of historical link to say why Charlestown should be called Charlestown, because that's quite recent, isn't it? Charlestown Shopping Centre.
Charlestown is quite recent. Mm.
It's quite recent. Springfield and Tala, I mean, that comes back from when developers could call whatever whatever they called something, whatever they wanted. Like when I was a kid, we were told one day to go. I've probably told the story before, but we were told to go home one day, find out about our Luganum, our place name, where we live, and what it means, and come back in and tell the teacher the next day. And my mate Liam, Councillor Liam Sinclair, fan of the podcast, a great guy. He came in the next day and said, "I live in a place called Cherrywood." because a builder thought that would be a nice name to sell houses.
Yeah.
And I'm like, where is the lie? There was no ancient wood of cherry blossoms on that
site. Sounds lovely. Yeah, but...
Come on, Sissy That Pod, let's get thickening!
Are you a fan of the Emmy Award-winning show RuPaul's Drag Race?
Do you think about Roxy Andrews at the bus stop?
And do you belong in Party City?
Well, Sissy That Pod is the podcast for you. Join me, James, and my co-host, Keen.
Is there something on my face?
As we chat weekly about the runway realness, sickening shade, and backstage buffoonery.
That's right, whether it's new episodes of Drag Race US, UK, or All Stars. Sissy That Pod will spill the tea with a new episode for you within 24 hours.
So make good choices and subscribe to Sissy That Pod from the Headstuff Podcast Network, and we'll leave you gagging on our eleganza.
Now, let the music play!
So as you mentioned logging on there, Potter, and this is a great thing because there is a website, logannon.ie, where people can find out lots of stuff about place names that interest them, loginm.ie. Garagine, you have some experience of this particular organization, this particular website.
Yeah, so years ago I worked with Fionter, and I worked on, the first time I worked there, I worked with Fuckle.ie, as it was known at the time, which is now Terma.ie. And I also worked on Annam.ie and Loganim.ie. So Annam.ie is a like a biography website, and then a little bit like Wikipedia for people. And then Loganim.ie is literally place names. So you can type in a place name and you'll get the translation for it. And very often you can also get a audio pronunciation of it, which the second time I worked with Fionter, so it was two separate stints, and the second time I worked there, they were doing these recordings at the time. And so what they had really tried to do was get somebody from the local area to pronounce the names. So they were like, we don't have anyone doing the leash names, so can you record all the leash names? And I did it and they didn't use it. So they were like, shit, no, we're not taking it. She's terrible.
Well, I know. You showed them by becoming the star of a popular podcast.
Do you know they haven't contacted me looking for it? They have, because I checked today. I checked Timahoe where I'm from, and I typed it in, and whoever is doing it, for like, listen, I'm fine, I'm over it. But they do have an Ulster Irish accent, so I would have always called it, and still do, Tig Macua with a hard G, and they're calling it Timahoe.
Timahoe.
I have an issue with that. So listen, I don't mind, whatever. But you can pronounce Stradbally any way you like, because fuck Stradbally, fuck Cashel, fuck Stradbally. but it was a really good site to work on. I really enjoyed it. And you learn, because like I said, like Loganim na Cé are, they're so like interesting, because the Irish name tells you usually so much more. And like you have all of, you know, it's not just like towns and villages, it's townlands as well. So you're working on these rural, like I said, like one side of the road that I live on is Kyle and the other side is Coolnabacca. And no one who's not from that area cares to know that, but I know. And, you know, those things are recorded in Loganim. So you have this very rich understanding. I think maybe it was you, Paddy, that mentioned it when we did the episode about Peg, where you talked about like how every plate, like every little rock and hill and hillock and tree had a name. And that is so encapsulated in the work done by Loganim, that everything, and they do such wonderful work to record these place names. And in that, you're recording a very local history. So if you take, as I said, Timahoe, where I'm from, you have Tig Macua, the House of Macua, because the Saint Macua came down and he built a monastery there, and that's how it's named. Stradbally, which is right next to Timahoe, it's in the same parish. Stradvalia, there's a lot of Stradvalia and Stradvallies in Ireland, because there's a one street in the town, and that's how it's named. So you can get so descriptive, or you can get so much information, like a little snapshot about the place and even about the history. Like if it is something that's Quill, whatever, Quillmore, you might ask yourself, maybe the quill is gone, maybe the wood is gone, where is the wood now? Or there was a wood here. You can at least tell from that, you know, however many years ago there was a wood here, and maybe it's gone now because of development and deforestation, but there was one here. So you can sort of get an eye into the past through a Loganim, which is, I always think, is lovely.
It's fantastic. Din Seanachas is the study of Luganam Nacha. And like, if it wasn't for the likes of Luganam.ie or other projects that seek to sort of map out our built and natural heritage, we'd lose so much. Like, we don't, in this day and age, we don't really, outside of, you know, in Dublin anyway, definitely not, but it's losing its grip in other parts of the country as well. The townland is becoming less and less important. And obviously, it's a long time since we've cared about what barony you live in or what civil parish you live in. And we used to have all of these things. And we used to know that I live in the townland of Bridewell Commons, which is right next to the townland of Bushelloaf, which is a great name. Bushelloaf. Imagine that. But like, we don't keep track of that anymore. If it wasn't for Luganam.ie, we wouldn't know these things.
They sound like English constituencies, like Rathfarnham.
Well, I'm from inside the pale, right? It's as simple as that. By the time, we didn't really care. Before the pale stretched out as far as Glendalkin, we didn't really care too much about, townlands or anything like that, because that's all related to tax. By the time the pale stretched out, they called us whatever they wanted to. And we were like, all right, governor.
Because, yeah, like Rathfarnham is in Upper Cross and the baronies of Upper Cross and Rathdown. And I just think that's probably what they would sound like if we had MPs instead of TDs.
Yeah, if you had a
like
Lord
that.
Of Baron Ross and Rathdown or whatever you said it was. That sounds like something.
Because I remember we had a discussion once, not on this podcast, but some friends had a discussion about whether Ireland should have single seat constituencies. And one of the objections was, what would we call them? Well, you couldn't have, you know, like you couldn't if you had four constituencies in Offaly and how many else were like what is one Offaly north, Offaly south, Offaly east, and but chances are you probably
would. The Yanks number them. It'd be like the fourth congressional district.
This is what I said.
Of Offaly.
The 17th Munster congressional for part of Cork, maybe. And then people say, no, that's so American. That's awful. That's worse than me to try to refer to the Republic of Ireland as the 353.
Your mate's not wrong there. Your mate's not wrong.
It works. It's less divisive than Republic of Ireland, 26 counties. People get their nose out of joint so easily.
It is absolutely how friends of mine in the north refer to the 26
they don't
county
have,
state.
They refer to as the 353.
Okay, I was just about to ask. They don't use 353 in Northern Ireland. That's 4-4? Yeah, okay.
No, they use plus 4-4, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, they say down in the 353 because they know it's non-divisive. They know that if they say down in the Free State or down in the Republic of Ireland or down in Southern Ireland
or down
in the 26, that all, it explains a political leaning that you may have that you may not want to put forward in that conversation. Whereas if you just say down in the 353,
unless you're
like, gotcha,
the likes of.
That's
what, unless you're
the likes
so of, like,
the
say,
numbers we
I don't
use.
Know, someone's mam who doesn't know. And I say someone's mam. My mom, who maybe doesn't know that 353 is the, because, you know, the phone does it for you. Why would you need to know? You know that plus 4-4 is the UK because occasionally you have to ring your aunt, your aunt in Birmingham or whatever. But, you know, you don't have to put the, yeah, well, no. Not
my mother-in-law.
I feel like I never knew that people did that. I don't technically like it, but I get what you're saying, that it's apolitical, the 353.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Sounders do it. It's cool.
Yeah, it's a kind of new.
How would your
man
know
logo?
That? She never had to ring home from the holidays.
Yeah,
not if you're really.
It'll do
does
it for
it?
You
if you're in Spain. New. Oh yeah, that happened a couple of years ago, doesn't it? You just have to.
Well, if you're putting in the number, if it's already the number's
six,
already in your phone, it should do it. I don't know. I do not ever. I know the calling code for Ireland, Italy, and Finland, and that's it. And then, in the UK and the US is 0-1, isn't it? Is it?
49
Who's
is Germany.
69? Who has 69? Who has that?
Yeah.
Who has the good number?
Oh, but that's.
I gotta find that out now. Plus 69 international dialing code. The coolest country in the world is
Algeria. No, hang on. Albania. It's part. It's one of the Albanian codes.
Is it?
No, that's not right.
Sure?
And I say that.
What,
that's,
did
that's
nobody
wrong.
Get it? Did they decide that's, that it's a cool number and no one has to be, gets to be better than anyone else, so no one gets it?
Hang on. Is there no 69 on the list? Oh my
this
God.
This is why.
That is outrageous. Marshall Islands. Marshall Islands. Marshall Islands is the 69, is the nice.
Yep, Marshall Islands. If we've any Marshall Islands listener, just call in because we just want to see a number calling from plus 69. Nice.
Unless you're busy.
Nice.
Gotcha. No, it's...
Yeah, it's a bit disappointing though, because if it's Tokelau, it's plus 690. If it's the Federated States of Micronesia, it's plus 691. And if it's the Marshall Islands themselves, it's plus 692.
Have a so great time.
So I guess all three of those jurisdictions are...
South Pacific, nice. Why would you not be, you know? Nice. You have lovely climate, island life, minding your business.
Yeah.
Okay. Absolutely. But I suppose, like... We mentioned Kill and Quill today. What we're going to do is, and we're going to have a few more episodes coming up soon, when we're going to look at some of the other popular kind of recurring name features in place names in Ireland.
You're doing everything you can to avoid saying common. This is a very common place name.
Frequent. We're looking at some of the terms that come up, and we are looking forward to bringing you some. A bunch of us, I was talking to some other podcasters, and we all agree that since the pandemic, podcasts are getting too long. So we're going to try and wrap things up a bit quicker.
I mean, you might agree. I have literally nothing else in my life.
YouTube videos I've already seen and podcasts. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Very well.
So send us your favorite place name, because that's literally where the conversation is at.
Send us your favorite place name.
That will be the highlight of my week.
Or is there a word you like in Irish and you want to know if there's a place name with that word? Who knows? We can check. The answer might be no. Sure. But we'll look for you and we'll talk about the podcast. So until the next time, it's a slán from me.
A slán from me.
Agus slán raibhse.
Mind yourselves. Hey, Derek again here, and Garaging's still here with me. I want to thank you all very much for listening to today's show. I want to especially thank people who have been supporting the show on Patreon. We are extremely grateful for your support. And I also want to add thank you very much for everyone who has sent kind messages to the team and myself this particular week. We really appreciate it and we love you all.
Motherfucklore comes out every Friday from the Head Stuff Podcast Network, and you can get it wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you very much to Kirsten Shield for doing the artwork. Thank you very much to Brian, who does the production. Thank you to the backroom team at Headstuff. We use remotely.fm for recording the Motherfucklore podcast. If you're thinking of doing your own podcast, that is an app you might want to try.
If you want to contact the show, you can email us or check us out on our WhatsApp, which will be in the show notes, and we'd love to hear from you.
And if you send us a voice note on WhatsApp, we're sure you might even include it in an episode.
I want to know your thoughts on Cashel. Anyone has their thoughts on Cashel, I want to know them.
We want to know your favourite round tower in Ireland. And we want to know what your least favourite town in Ireland is.
No, I don't want to know.
Don't start that shit.
Okay,
I don't want to know what your favourite round tower in Ireland is unless it's Timahoe. That's all I want. Okay. I'm no problem saying that.
Okay. I don't want to start a flame war on this podcast about what's the least favourite town in Ireland.
Okay.
Like, that's ridiculous. Look, we all know it's Cashel. Port Arlington.
Oh, I will 100% stand by that. What is the point of Port Arlington? I don't know. What purpose does it serve? Nothing. Is it in Leash? Is it in Offaly? Who cares?
It's not a port either, but we'll get to that on another episode.
It's a nothing.
Until the next time, mind yourselves, be kind to each other, and slán.
This has been a production of the Head Stuff Podcast Network.
Just a little extra something I want to talk about this week. As many of you know, I spent 4 happy years in UCD and the Belfield campus. And in that time, I, like many students and staff members in UCD, was familiar with Michael Byrne, sometimes known as Old Man Belfield. He sadly left us in late December, and his funeral just took place in the past week or so. And I would just like to add my voice to the people whose lives are touched in a small way by seeing him there. UCD can be, Belfield especially, can be a very impersonal place, and it can be a lonely place. And I think Michael, for a lot of people, personalized encapsulated the fact that there is actually a community there of people. And I take a small note of pride in the fact that in my year of working in UCD as well as actually being a student there, that the community did pull together to try and help Michael out. And I would just say that we'll miss him. I'll miss him. Ardesh de Grevahanam. Slán mi hall.